Welcome to Native America Calling. From Albuquerque, I'm Monica Brain. Defenders of land sacred to Apaches and other tribes are hoping the courts can halt a land transfer to a mining company. Apache Stronghold filed suit to try and protect land known as Oak Flat. They're hoping the only treaty between the U.S. government and Apaches concerning land can keep the transfer from going through. It's the latest development in a decades-long fight over Oak Flat. We'll get an update on the land coming up after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribes in Montana and North and South Dakota are welcoming President Biden's order to revoke the Keystone XL pipeline permit. Chairman Harold Frazier of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe in a statement thanked Biden and expressed gratitude for honoring treaties and keeping his campaign promise. Meanwhile, TC Energy announced it will stop construction. In a statement issued just before the inauguration Wednesday, TC said it's disappointed the new president is rescinding the permit issued by the Trump administration. Victoria Wicks has more.
TC Energy says the company has a successful business base, and aside from the Keystone XL pipeline, it will go forward with other funded projects as well as those under development. But TC will stop the Keystone XL construction it already started, which includes a small segment of pipe that crosses the U.S.-Canada border. Wes Furlong is an attorney with the Native American Rights Fund, which represents the Rosebud Sioux Tribe and Fort Belknap Indian Community in Montana federal court. Furlong says the judge warned TC that construction before lawsuits were settled could result in a loss for the company.
TransCanada's forging ahead with building the pipeline with this sort of cloud of litigation hanging over their head. From the tribe's perspective and from our perspective, they've really assumed a lot of the risk of doing that.
Pipeline proponents say an end to the project would result in a loss of thousands of jobs during construction. But Wes Furlong says those construction jobs can be replaced.
My personal hope is that there's a real opportunity for infrastructure reinvestment and then new investment in different and alternative sources of energy that, frankly, are better paying and safer jobs.
Several tribes and environmental groups filed lawsuits starting in 2017 against U.S. government agencies for permitting the pipeline without adequate environmental studies and for violations of treaty rights. The pipeline was tied up in litigation throughout the previous presidential administration. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
President Biden's executive order on protecting public health and the environment and restoring science to tackle climate change also directs a review on restoring Bears Ears National Monument in Utah to consult with tribes and report back to the president in 60 days. Bears Ears was modified in 2017 by President Trump. Since then, a number of tribes have been fighting to get protections back. The executive order also puts a temporary moratorium on oil and gas leasing in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. It directs the Interior Department to review the program and study potential environmental impacts. The Gwich'in Steering Committee and environmental groups are among those fighting for permanent protection of the Arctic Refuge. Indigenous organizations illuminated a teepee in Billings, Montana this week to honor lives lost to COVID-19 and recognize the new presidential administration. Yellowstone Public Radio's Caitlin Nicholas has more.
As the sun set Tuesday evening, Bill Snell, executive director of the Rocky Mountain Tribal Leaders Council, explained the teepee serves as a memorial for those who've died from COVID-19 and as a symbol of hope as the United States transitions to a new chapter under the Biden administration.
I think it's really important that we as Indian people take the lead a lot of times in this and be able to demonstrate our way of trying to give some hope to the world.
The teepee was lit with amber lights to symbolize the dawn of the new day Indigenous nations and the United States are moving toward. Amber was also chosen because the Washington Monument and other sites were illuminated at the same time across the country as part of a national COVID-19 memorial. Snell said he hopes this display, like the installment of teepees erected in Billings last month to symbolize tribal members who've died from COVID-19, will stir the Biden administration to put even more resources toward fighting the pandemic, which has disproportionately impacted Native Americans. I'm Caitlin Nicholas.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, dedicated to cancer research, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous population. A no-charge online risk assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood, joining you today through Skype. A group representing San Carlos Apaches and other tribes is hoping a court injunction can stop the clock on an imminent land exchange in Arizona. Apache Stronghold sued to stop the transfer of land that clears the way for a copper mining company to take place over development of land known as Oak Flat. Apaches and others say the land is sacred and have been in a high-stakes tug-of-war for its fate for decades. Now, last-minute Trump administration move means the land transfer is closer than ever before. Resolution Copper is the company proposing a mine on the land. They declined to be on the show today, but did send a written statement. Resolution Copper project director Andrew Lai said the company is, quote, committed to ongoing engagement with Native American tribes and working to seek consent before any decision on the development of the project. What do you think about the controversy over the area known as Oak Flat? Phone lines are open. The number to get you into the conversation is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Joining us now from San Carlos, Arizona, is Wensler Nosey Sr. He's the leader of the Apache Stronghold, and he is San Carlos Apache. Welcome, Wensler, and please feel free to further introduce yourself.
I just want to say greetings to all my brothers and sisters who are listening in Indian country. And thank you for having me on today.
Yeah, it's great to hear you again and get an update on what's going on there in Arizona. So where do things stand right now with the land transfer and with Oak Flat?
Well, as you said to the listeners, you know, we have filed lawsuits, and really when I'm asked the questions, you know, the question on this, I tell them that, first of all, as I've always said, it's a sacred site and a holy place, you know, no different than the biblical when we talk about Mount Sinai. And it's always been a religious battle for me because what we see that will forever be destroyed is one, the identity of both, you know, of the mountain that holds our language, our songs, of where it originated, and then the future of our children, of those that are babies and yet to be born, and the consequences that comes with that, you know. And again, you go back to the Constitution of the United States of how they founded this country based on religion, but, you know, it does not extend to the rest of us. And, you know, and one of the things that's really important that we need to understand when the United States does this kind of exemption, what does it mean? What does it do? When the laws don't govern, you know, justice as far as the reality of what's going to occur. So, you know, it's really has been a religious battle, and to stay focused in the religious sense so that we don't lose our focus, because as I tell the people here, you know, we're fighting something great that is evil that has come to this part of the country. And I tell people it's not the white people, it's the way of life, it's this capitalism that is destroying so many different things. And so, you know, Oak Flats, you know, has really now, you know, politically, from the time we started to where we are, was educating as much as we could to the world and to this country, specifically this country, about what political does to a place of a human race. And then you have the law that, you know, now we're at that point where we have to submit what we have to the justice and see what's going to be ruled from that. And so in so many ways, you know, it's kind of like we're at that door now, you know, which is really unfair because we're, you know, our religion is going to be tried, and our right to be is also going to be tried based on the 1852 treaty that we also have included. So it's a frightening time for us, you know, because of how the laws were exempt, not giving us no fairness, and the Arizona people as well, not knowing the pros and cons that were going to take place from this mining activity that's going to occur.
We're talking with Wensler Nosey Sr. He is the leader of the Apache Stronghold. And we're talking about Oak Flat. There is a controversial land exchange. The clock is ticking on the land exchange in Arizona. The company Resolution Copper will exchange privately owned land for land in the Tonto National Forest. And they hope to have a copper pit mine in the area. Wensler, you know, whatever you feel comfortable sharing, tell us about the cultural significance of this area, Oak Flat, and the challenges of explaining this to people who aren't native.
Well, I think the biggest thing that it comes right down to is that there are wrong definitions that were used for our religious ways. And like, for instance, you know, when our gone people, gone means, like, I guess the closest in the English language would be angels, saints. And so when they classified it as crown dancers or devil dancers based on what they seen, I guess, when they came into this area. And so that's just an example of what we're coming across with what had happened in the past and what we're facing today, because it really dilutes, you know, the English language, really, the definitions that were given really dilutes really what this is, you know. And it goes back to and I tell many of the people, it goes back to the beginning of time, even in Europe, before they were colonized into this capitalist world that, you know, and I'm glad that I can speak with reference, because going back to Europe, you know, for the fight for Mount Graham and Oak Flats, and meeting with so many of the people there, that, you know, even white people had a custom, a cultural way, a religious way before the dominant of Christianity came to them as well. So, you know, and then there's also petroglyphs. There's a petroglyph here and also on Oak Flats, and also one on Mount Graham that is in the Alps, that the people were able to take me to the Alps to see. And those petroglyphs identify the angels, the old religion, the first religion. And so, you know, I try to tell people that, you know, we still hang on to time immemorial of what it was. And so when you come to Oak Flats, you know, is one of the areas that gives us that recording, that way of life, that reminder, you know, as Indian people. And then it translates into going into our children for those years yet to come. And so, you know, in destroying all of this, then it would raise questions in those yet to be born. You know, you sing the songs, you know, you pray this way. Where is it at? And then you go there, and it's a big copper pit mine. And then, you know, what they're going to be giving out is jobs, money, you know, the economic development. You know, they're going to be forced to learn those things, which really, you know, takes us as Indian people and this country in a direction that we shouldn't go, because we're killing all the environments and we're killing all the religious ways. And, you know, when the water goes, everything goes, you know, and that's one of the things that we see that I've witnessed and I've seen and tried to educate across this country, not just to, you know, to Indian people, but to everybody, that, you know, a lot of things are at stake, and from the environment to the political laws and to our congressional people and how they make decisions, you know, all that is intertwined in Oak Flats. And again, you know, it's holy and sacred, and it's just like all these other places, but we're killing these places. And once they're all gone, you know, it's like my mother used to tell me, we're people who are just like them. We've turned off the volume and we don't hear life no more. And then that's the time that we say that Mother Earth will do what it has to do to clean itself.
Mm. Well, this reminds me of so many other shows that we've done on Native America Calling about sacred places that are that folks are genuinely concerned about when it comes to mining. We did a show about a place in Montana called Badger 2 Medicine. And I remember the folks mentioned when they were working with the federal government and working, you know, with the people who had leased the land for mining, they just said to them, just show us which rocks are sacred. Just point out the sacred rocks and we'll avoid them. In order to, you know, when we put our oil wells in or things like that. Wensler, have you ever encountered a conversation like that where, and then what are the challenges of explaining, you know, it's not about one sacred rock or one spot?
No, it has been challenged because, I mean, the challenging of it because they don't realize that everything is, well, you know, I don't know, it's probably the way they were brought up or taught, but they don't realize that everything interacts together. And if you hurt one part, it's just like a body. We try to explain them to a body. If an arm is taken away, what happens to that body? Even if a finger is taken away, what happens to the body? If a toe is taken away, what happens to the body? It creates an imbalance. And so there's only certain places that you can do things. And so it's been really hard. And one of the things that, you know, I had to bring out to people is the fact that there's places that are male and females. And when we talk about Oak Flats is a female because it provides water, provides life. You know, the environment is there. You can be born there and you can die there from old age. But you go from a radius. Where other places can you find that, you know? And so these are these very unique places that I tell them that, you know, you can't. You know, there has to be a point where you need to understand enough is enough. You know, and we can't. And then when you look at it from the perspective of people in power, it's about greed and power. You know, it's about no end. And like when I'm in D.C., I'm talking to all these people, you know, they're worried about their children and their children yet to be born of how their stocks and bonds are going to be. And like when talking with some of the mining people, you know, it's not only about mining. It's about buying up the water because the CEOs have assured the stockholders that we got to buy these land bases and buy this water because, you know, the next thing for your grandkids and ones yet to be born will be who controls water. And so, you know, they have these things all set up down the road as far as when you look at a corporate life. And so, you know, we have to tell them what they're living in to make them understand what we're trying to say. But if we're not saying it, and we're not telling them, or, you know, and they're not listening, then they're going down this road. But it's been really, you know, yeah, a part that you have to educate, I guess, along the way.
Yeah, Wensler, thank you for sharing that. We're going to go to a short break. And after the break, we're going to talk more about Oak Flat and Apache Stronghold's efforts to save the area from a large copper pit mine. If you want to weigh in on this, particularly if you support the mine or you don't support it, call us at 1-800-996-2848. We'll be right back.
Despite the convenience and popularity of online shopping, Indigenous bookstores continue to thrive. A new one, The Birdcage, opened in Rapid City recently, despite the pandemic. And others are continuing to create space for Indigenous literature and community in urban areas. We'll talk with some Native bookstore owners on the next Native America Calling.
Support by Roswell Park, who know tribal communities face persistent challenges in health equity, such as cancer and higher death rates. The Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center is dedicated to advancing cancer research that will lead to translatable science, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous populations worldwide. Are you at high risk for cancer? A no-charge online assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood, joining you today through Skype. We're talking about Oak Flat today. It's an area in Arizona that's sacred to the San Carlos Apache and other tribes, and it's also the site of a proposed copper mine. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, the number to join is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And before the break, we were talking with Wensler Nosey Sr. He's the leader of the Apache Stronghold. And Wensler, I want to give you an opportunity. Anything else you want to share about the challenges of explaining the spiritual significance of land to a mining company or to the federal government.
Well, I think I just go back to what you had said earlier about Resolution Copper and their statement. You know, when it comes to a holy and sacred place, there's no way you can mitigate anything. There's no price that can ever, you know, supplement what's going to be lost. And you don't give up who you are. You don't give up your sovereignty as a person that has a way, a belief in life. And then the same thing, you know, from the purpose of why we were put on this earth is to take care of those precious gifts that gives us life. And as I said before, you know, if these places go, then, you know, everything else follows. And I just pray that these people or people would realize that, you know, the environment, the way they call it, it is really, really crucial for what tomorrow and the future is going to be. And, for us, it's our mother. You know, the mother provides everything. It gives us everything that we need to survive. And if we go too far away from it, you know, there's no way of coming back. But that's where your belief in religion is important. And, you know, and bringing up in our children and making them realize that, you know, it's just not about us. It's about everything. And you teaching them that in the very beginning, then as they get older, they understand it. And so, you know, spirituality is really inside of a person that you build, you help build, but, you know, it's to make them understand. But and also understand a corporate life that we all live in, you know, and I tell people that, you know, we live on reservations, we're suppressed, but going across this country, you know, I've seen cities and towns that I met a lot of non-Indians that they're living in a suppressed stage as well. Especially with this pandemic, you know, it really has shown how people are living in a corporate world and suppressed and how many, you know, are in need. So it's important that, you know, we save these things. Like the last example I'll give is, like, for instance, I believe they're saying copper is like $3-something a pound. And then with the acorn itself, you know, people have sold that for £1, $60, because one coffee can, one pound, can feed up to 400 to 500 people. And then if it's just a family, it can last you a half a year. So, I mean, all this is right in front of us, but we ignore it, you know, like it doesn't mean anything. And so, you know, spirituality is really the upbringing of who we are. And all we're trying to do is not be sucked into this corporate world, and we're just trying to throw ropes to everybody else to make them realize that, you know, that we don't want to go there, you know, and we're trying to help pull them back out. And I guess that comes back to sustainability and also taking care of the earth for what it provides. So I think that's really, really important for all of us. And I see that more so now because you got to teach those younger people that. And then as older people, we have to admit that we're caught up in this corporate world and that, you know, it really leads to devastation like we're witnessing right now.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that, particularly you reaching out to younger people to explain this issue of Oak Flat to them. But I want to also add your voice to the conversation if you want to get in and talk about Oak Flat in Arizona, or maybe there's another environmental fight that for sacred land that you are working on. Call us at 1-800-996-2848. Let's take a quick call. We've got Michael in Jemez Pueblo tuned in on KUNM. Hey there, Michael. What do you want to share?
Oh, yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I was wondering if the tribe had reached out to Deborah Holland, you know, because in her new position, she may have she may intervene, and also she understands the religious and sacred significance of indigenous America and then indigenous tribes around the world because of our essence and our beliefs. And also, you know, with this new administration that just took over, their stated agenda, I think then we'll see whether the corporations and lobbyists have a stranglehold on this administration. But I think the time now is to reach out to Deborah Holland and also, you know, and just let time will cure it with this new administration.
All right, Michael and Wenzel, have you reached out? Have you spoken with Congresswoman Holland about this issue?
Yeah, we've already been in D.C. and met with her already. She's aware of this issue. And I believe with the tribe, the same thing, and also with NCAI, you know, information has already been submitted to her. But we've met her directly, and we had talked to her as well.
Great. Let's add another voice to the conversation. Joining us now is Clark Nakungva. He is the vice chairman of the Hopi tribe. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Vice Chairman Tenakungva.
Lolma, how you all doing? Thank you for allowing me to be part of the conversation today.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice. First, just talk to us a little bit about the significance of the Oak Flat area to the Hopi.
Well, Hopi has long lineages throughout not just the current villages that we have here, 12. A lot of us have our clan history of what I just basically testified again this morning in reference to another sacred site, which is Berger's, which is very important to a lot of the tribes north of where the current San Carlos is. And I know for a fact that two clans in particular, the Greasewood and the Roadrunner, are affiliated with that area. And we have long been engaged in discussion since the project started developing there, maybe even longer than some of the other tribes that got engaged in there. And we always say it that ancestrally, culturally, these are the footprints of Hopi that have traveled through there. So we know of sites that we have named in that particular site that we have addressed more than once. Along with not just Oak Flats, we've always already, or I've been engaged since I've been in office since 2016, which is a new enlightenment to hear that they stopped the construction of the wall. Just same thing as devastating as what it is, as far as what's happening there in Oak Flats. But Hopi has long been engaged in a lot of the areas here in the Southwest, not just particularly in at the request of other tribes, but because we know ancestrally, it has a lot of bearing on what Hopi is today. A lot of the other tribes, yes, we have our stories of why it's significant to us. Yes, the current day brothers and sisters of the Paget tribes that reside in that area, they have the significance of the cultural value of it, what they do there ceremonially. But our history goes into the point of how Hopi became who we are. And any destruction of any land throughout the United States is really basically another imposition on any Native tribe without any consultation. That has always been the history of American government. And like you mentioned today, mentioning of Congressman Holland, you know, until that day arrives, then, yes, we really need to start hammering at her door and others to try to resolve some of this issue or bring a bigger attention to it, open the doors so that there is actual discussion. Yes, you know, I heard today also, you know, the Keystone Pipeline has been put a halt to. But yet, in our back doors, in every area, and it's not just about your neighborhood there in Albuquerque or near the area. Who was here first? It's always been the Native Americans. So our sites and our history is scattered throughout every space of this landscape that today, finally, we have some laws and some legislation in place that the governments, state, both local, federal, and at the national level, they have to comply with that of recognition. So with this, you know, that's my part of it that I would like to add on to the discussion today is that regardless of where we are at and situated at this today, we need to continue to support one another. If one tribe asks for an arm to another brother or sister, we need to be there actively engaged in those kind of issues so that we bring attention at a national level, not just at a local level.
So, Vice Chairman Tenakungva, does the Hopi tribe, is it officially on the record as not supporting the copper mine at Oak Flat?
Not on record, but we have been, as far as, you know, from the get-go of what was, you know, happening there. It wasn't until later on when I got involved that it was already something that had come to the floor of the council. So, of course, a lot of the issues that come there, sometimes it's already acted on before I have arrived here. But at this point, the cultural side of it is that we are still concerned and will support any new legislation that is of major concern that, you know, we need to be apprised of as far as our cultural sites that are scattered throughout that region.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chairman Tanakongva. We appreciate it. And before you go, I know you've got to get going. Can you just give us an update on where it stands with Bears Ears?
The issue is that we're waiting for the new administration to actually, it was heard that they are going to rescind the current executive order that's in place. And if they do that, that would be great news. And then it will be up to the parties, the five tribes that are engaged currently in litigation on the issue with the Trump administration, the former Trump administration, is that I hope that it is again overturned in the D.C. courts. And once that happens, I think the push is to go forward with a better concrete legislation from Congress, making it a permanent place of a national monument, so that no other administration in the future or no coming in the future that will unturn what we have worked really hard for to get this legislation in. But that's where we're at currently. Of course, we've got an uphill battle against the state of Utah, but I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to continue to talk with the representative of Romney and others that represent the state of Utah.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, Vice Chairman of the Hopi Tribe, Clark Tanakongva.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I wish you all well. I want to thank you for allowing me to be on air, but I just want to thank everybody that's listening in. I wish you all well. Let's try to pursue and be safe. Take the CDC recommendation, mask up, wash your hands, you know, sanitize, make sure you social distance, because we want to get back on a normal life of what our culture is about as Native Americans. And I care about all of you that are listening in. I love you all, and I hope to see all of you down the trail again in our lifeline. Thank you.
Thank you, Clark. We appreciate it. And if you want to join our conversation, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. We're talking about the Apache Stronghold. It's a proposed copper mine. There's a proposed copper mine on the land in Arizona. And the Trump administration's, one of the last acts of the Trump administration was to set the clock ticking on a land exchange that would put the land in private property with the mining company. What do you think about this? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Let's talk to Julius in Jacksonville, Florida, tuned in online. Hey there, Julius. What do you want to share?
Hello. I just want to basically give a shout out to Mr. Nosey, and I'm totally against what the Trump administration is doing. It's wrong. And number one, that land is sacred to the Apaches, and they fought for it, and it was a part of the reservation back in the 1950s. So I support the people of Oak Flat 110%. That's no different than a group of these guys going into a church. It's just wrong. They have a right to have their sacred place, you know, and that's just the way I feel about it.
All right. Thanks, Julius. It's great to hear from Florida. We don't usually get a lot of calls from Florida. Appreciate it. And I want to add another voice to the conversation. Joining us now from Tucson, Arizona, is Roger Featherstone. He's the director of the Arizona Mine Reform Coalition. Roger, we're going to go to a break in just a bit, but I want to welcome you and ask you, you know, what you want to contribute, add to this conversation about Oak Flat.
Well, good morning, Monica. Good morning to everybody there out in Radio Land. I guess the overriding thing here is this is a failed experiment, this whole mine idea. It's just not going to work. There's not enough water to go around for this mine. And obviously, it's sacred and has a much higher calling than to be destroyed is a failed experiment. So it's just it's clearly a situation that is intolerable. We need to make sure we stop this from happening. And I think we still have the tools to do that.
You know, we haven't even really talked about the sort of mechanics of the mine and how it works. I read an article in the Arizona Republic that said that the type of mining that it is would create I think it was like 1,000 feet deep pit. I want to talk more about that, Roger, after the break as well. And I want to hear from you. What do you think about the mine and proposed mine in Oak Flat in Arizona? And it seems like we have two different reasons that our guests today are saying that the mine should not happen. One, first and foremost, Mr. Nosy Sr. has mentioned, is that the land is sacred. The land is sacred to the Apache, and we heard from the vice chairman of the Hopi tribe that it's sacred to the Hopi as well. They have ancestral connections to that land. There's a few other tribes that also say that the land that in that area is significant to them as well. But the other issue is one of environmental groups saying that a large open pit copper mine would actually be very detrimental to the area. There's issues of water, there's issues of chemicals going into the ground, and just the fact that it would be a large pit. From what I understand. And Roger from the Arizona Mine Reform Coalition is with us. He's going to explain sort of the mechanics of how this proposed mine would work after the break. But we also want to hear from you. There's still time to get in on the conversation. Give us a call at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. You can tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE as well. And if you have a lot more you want to say, you can send us an email to comments@nativeamericacalling.com.
Support for journalism that raises the awareness of child well-being to citizens and to policymakers provided by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, building a brighter future for children, families, and communities. Information at aecf.org.
Support by Navajo Language Renaissance, presenting Rosetta Stone Navajo for iPads, iPhones, Chromebooks, and Android devices with two learning levels and a self-correcting pronunciation feature. Info at NavajoRenaissance.org.
You're tuned in to Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, and today we're talking about Oak Flat in Arizona. Before the break, we were talking with Roger Featherstone. He's the director of the Arizona Mine Reform Coalition. So, Roger, explain to us this proposed copper mine that would be in the Oak Flat area. What exactly would it look like? What kind of mining will happen there?
Well, first of all, I'm confident, although it'll be it's an uphill battle, it always has been. I'm confident that this will never happen, and so we're talking theory here, what the company is proposing, not what I think that we'll be able to do. But the project itself is proposed as massive. It would be basically a 43-mile footprint that would destroy 16,000 acres from one side to the other. This would be it wouldn't be an open pit mine. It's what's called the block cave mine, which is essentially an upside down open pit. So what the company would do at Oak Flat is they would drill down to 7,000 feet below the surface, and they would create an infrastructure at the bottom of the ore body, and then they would blast to collapse the ore body down into their workings in the bottom. And in doing so, it would create a crater basically on the surface that would be 2 miles wide and 1,000 foot deep. And then they would take the ore to a processing facility, and because the ore body is about a cubic mile in diameter, it would create that much waste, toxic waste, and that would be pumped 20 miles to the east into another valley and then just dumped on the ground to have all that toxic waste percolate into the ground. So that would be it, the basic proposal. The mine would use as much water as the city of Tempe, Arizona. And of course, in Arizona, we just don't have that much water to go around. So that's kind of the mechanics of what they're planning. This has never been done at that depth anywhere in the world. The only similar mine is in Mongolia, which has a devastating impact on indigenous herders on that mine site. And the bottom line is they're in construction of a similar operation, and it's just not working out for them. They're just not able to do it. So that's, you know, as I said before, it's one thing to it would be much more tragic to take Oak Flat and destroy it for a failed experiment.
Interesting, Roger. And I should note that we did invite Resolution Copper to be on the show today, and they did decline, but they said that they are committed to working with tribes on this issue. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Russ in Mescalero Apache tuned in on KUNM. Hey there, Russ, what do you want to share today? Oh, it looks like we lost him. Sorry about that. Let's go to Melvin in Nebraska, tuned in on KZYK. Hey there, Melvin.
Yes, good morning. I was going to ask Roger Featherstone what the effects on the tribes on the water issue is, because as he knows, all tribes are having water issues. And how bad will this be for the Apache and surrounding tribes? And the other thing is, Roger, we did work together about 40 years ago in Minnesota on those big power lines. Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Good morning, Melvin.
Good morning.
Good to hear. The other thing that I didn't mention is. Because the workings would be 7,000 foot deep, the mining company would have to pump the water out of the entire area there to make sure their mine workings were dry. So that would have that would completely dewater not only Oak Flat but the area around it, and with the San Carlos Reservation being fairly close to the east now. Of the proposal, there's certainly reason to believe that would impact the water supply for the tribe itself, and it would certainly impact the water for the towns of Superior and Top of the World that are close by.
But didn't the Forest Service release a final environmental impact statement? There was nothing in the impact statement about the amount of water that would be used or how it would be affecting the towns in the area. Russ? Roger?
Yes, they did, and that's what kind of started this clock ticking as far as the exchange, and that's what they really rushed through. So the final environmental impact statement is very poorly written and incomplete. It did talk about the water, but the estimates for the water are lowballed, in our comments on the previous version, we hit them hard on that, and their response really isn't any better. So yes, there's a lot of things in that statement that are talked about. There's still a lot of unanswered questions, and I think that's something that the courts will decide as to whether that impact statement is sufficient enough to even trigger this 60-day clock to tick.
So is there a possibility, like if the courts can't get to, for example, the Apache Stronghold litigation in time, that the transfer will go through in the next 2 months, Roger?
Yes. Basically, the way the law is written, at least in the stronghold lawsuit is out there. The San Carlos Apache tribe filed a lawsuit, and our attorneys are also investigating what the options are for our coalition. So yes, we believe certainly that if the final environmental impact statement is deficient, it would need to be withdrawn, and if it was no longer sufficient, that should stop the 60-day clock from ticking. So that's yes, there's that possibility. There's other possibilities for fixing this, you know, by the Biden administration. And then I should point out from the companies behind this, Rio Tinto and BHP, the two world's largest mining companies, after Rio Tinto blew up sacred rock shelters in Western Australia in May of 2020, the company has promised never to do that again anywhere in the world. And, of course, if Rio Tinto's words mean anything, they would have no choice but to abandon this project. So I guess that would be the other possibility is these mining companies would actually come to their senses and walk away before they you know do any more damage than they've already done. Mm. Obviously, we're not really that's a low probability, but you know they. You know, it's still out there. They still might do the right thing.
It's really interesting. Wensler, you know, what Roger is talking about, is there a sense of urgency that you're feeling right now as a result of this? The things I've read is that mines like this will take 20 to 30 years to even get started. That, you know, this new administration is definitely more on the environmental side. But do you feel that, you know, that you should be worried that, you know, the future is coming up quick when it comes to this mine?
Well, you know, I go back to day one in 1999, 2000. The sense of urgency has always been there. And, you know, like I did tell one reporter that, you know, you had Democrats and Republicans on this issue, you know, prior, and then you had other people, but at that time, everybody seemed to have kind of walked away from the issue, especially when they got the exemption from John McCain. And so, and then it goes back to the federal government itself with the trust responsibility with the tribe. I mean, they know that they have the advantage when they're not helping the tribe financially to really determine through these studies what the major effects are going to be. And being on the tribal council, being a chairman before, you know, we had to initiate that all ourselves and try to find allies to help us, you know, to kind of look at and get a good reading what was going to take place and yet, you know, really get no help. And then I remember knocking on the first doors in my trip to D.C. Nobody wanted to open the door, you know, and I was just getting slammed by John McCain and Kyle on, you know, what they've been doing for Indian people all these years and that, you know, we should, you know, allow this to happen. It's going to be jobs and, you know, your people are living in devastation. And I reminded them the high unemployment comes from them putting us as prisoners of war and that anything that we've done economically to bring down the employment rate has been from the tribe itself. So there's been all these, you know, back and forth. And, again, you know, I met with President Obama when he was a president and, you know, brought that to him as well with the issue that we're facing and especially about the law, but being exempt from all these environmental laws that what we're talking about right now with what could have been provided to everyone about the pros and cons. And so, you know, then there's a fallback about us people, who we are, you know, because that's not our manifest destiny. That's not who we are. So as Indian people, you know, especially those who practice their religion, you know, we still take a step back of what's happening on this corporate way of life. And they're all trying to come up with, you know, it's good for your people. Take it. And then what really frightens me right now is this is given the time for the Resolution Copper to once again mitigate with the tribes of Arizona to try to have them buy in because, you know, their stance is that it's going to happen and, you know, you guys need to take this, you know, this financial support that we're going to give you. You know, send us your wish list. And, you know, there's a lot of underneath games that are being played to give the wrong story to the public. And so, you know, that's where it's important for tribes to really stand their ground, to not take anything from them at this point. But it's a worry, you know, I mean, because you're talking about who we are and what our children are to be. And you know, we're coming out of being victims of the past, and there's a healing going on. And I just hope that, you know, this country looks at that, and the people who are, you know, providing their assistance and help realize that, you know, it's really to a better future for this country. So, but every day, you know, I've not slept well. You know, I haven't been who I am. I've been living a life that, you know, that really is protecting what we can, and then living at Oak Flats, you know, being intimidated by the miners and, you know, people saying things. But it's a part of the process, but we're getting there. And I just think that we can't, you know, bring our foot off the gas pedal. We need to keep moving, and hopefully, you know, those helps will come where it should.
Mm. Wensler, you've been working on this for a long time. What else would you have been doing with your time if you didn't have to protect Oak Flat?
Well, I think I'd still be trying to protect our people and trying to make us realize, you know, what a reservation life is and where it suppresses us, and then the trust responsibility that the United States have, and then, you know, really telling our people the real history of what happened, you know, and why it happened. I mean, those things I think we really need, you know, I really believe we need to be open doors with our children, because my mother was. And this is what made me who I am, to defend what's left and get other people to defend what is important in life. And so I probably, you know, if it wasn't fighting for this here, it would still be fighting for the justice for all, the right, and then for the newcomers to understand it's not just always about a corporate world, but it's about sustainability and about the environment, because I'm pretty sure they're not going anywhere. So those are really important teaching. And before we put our children out there and getting their degrees, and then they go and work for a corporate company, and then, you know, those things are embedded in them, and they forget the integrity of a culture, of a people, and the blessed gift that was given to all of us. So it's really important that those things are integrated before any of our students are educated and are out there and being grabbed by these corporate companies, you know. So I think I would really be working on that, you know, to really save the future so that we're all on the same page.
We're right at the end of the hour, Wensler. What do you want to tell young people who are listening today about protecting Oak Flat?
Well, you know, I like to say to all people, you know, we're all in this together. And sometimes us older people, we make the wrong choices because we were not given the right information. And just like here at Oak Flats, you know, a lot of the people were not given the right information. But it's really to seek those information to make the right decision. But you got to follow your conscience. You know, inside it always tells you when it's right and when it's wrong. So I just ask young people, you know, to really go by that. When that feeling is not right, then really search into it so that you can make the right decision and not to follow. Because the only thing that, you know, we have and that we should be loyal to is the fact that the giver of life, you know, what was given to us and how that's all intertwined. We all have to protect that as it protects us. But once we leave it, and we don't protect that, then we're at jeopardy like the way we are today. And then we become people that we're not, to try to make something that was wrong or right. And it'll never satisfy that human soul. So I just tell the young people, you know, listen to your instincts. And that's what has guided me to where I'm at today.
And Wensler, before you go, can you say the traditional name of Oak Flat for us?
Chichebegoste. And Gawn Bigawan, that's the home of the Holy Spirits and the old Emery oak trees, because they have a history and a story.
Thank you so much to Wensler Nosy Sr., as well as Clark Tanakongva and Roger Featherstone. We're back tomorrow with a look at Native-owned bookstores. I'm Monica Brain. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Support by Utah Dene Bekea, working to fully restore Bears Ears National Monument by asking the Biden administration to fulfill the original vision of protection for 1.9 million acres with meaningful co-management by tribes. It's time we respect ancestral lands and our collective American heritage by listening to and learning from tribes on stewardships of these cultural landscapes. Info on supporting this effort at utahdine.org. That's UTAHDINE.org.
Skuktas naptam dai ku toasi apata kamuyo chip idan kok mer kok huma ko ai ta ku humu atu ai mam ta moi wuchi ku toasi apata amosi hasi e obai chis ma chim amohanye kok ta ma ki mama kai om hagni healthcare.gov og 1-800-318-2596 ida mamjet himak centers for medicare to medicaid hachipka.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.